Epistle to the Colossians, chapter 4.
Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer, and watch in the same with thanksgiving, withal praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be alway with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justus, who are of the circumcision. These only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen.
I already talked about the verse number 1 in the chapter 4 in the preceding recording, where the other parts of the spiritual family were taken care of in Paul's advices and instructions. In the verse number 2, I read, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. I would think, since the Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossians, continue in prayer, that he was fully aware of the fact that they are a prayerful group of believers. Also, when the Apostle encouraged the disciples to continue in prayer, he was aware of the danger of getting tired of praying, or bored, or for one reason or another neglecting our prayers. Our relationship with our Heavenly Father is a relationship of reverence and love, adoration. And if there is no regular communication between the two sides, between our Heavenly Father and us, then this might be a symptom of cooling love. Setting aside regular time for our prayers is a very good way of living in the faith. And in the times of distress or persecution, sickness, or any unusual difficulty and suffering, our prayers should be multiplied, not as if our Heavenly Father would not be aware of our needs. He knows always what we need. But because in the difficulties, Satan is laboring hard to distract us and to shift our focus away from the Lord, that we might see the difficulties much greater and not feel the Lord's presence and His continuous care for us. In the chapter 3, in the verse 14, Paul is teaching us Above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And I think that almost in every prayer we should pray that the Lord would bless us with more charity, that He would open our heart and mind to receive more of His love in order to have more charity for one another. In the verse 15 of the chapter 3, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. We should pray that we be not disturbed with the difficulties and threats that are in the world against us, that our conscience be not stained with sinful intentions or desires. We should also pray that the word of Christ may be dwelling richly in us in all wisdom, that the Lord bless us with deeper insight, clearer understanding, faithfulness in daily application, clarity and sound doctrines in every presentation, proclamation or declaration of the gospel. In our prayers we ask the Lord to help us to do everything to please Him, to deliver us and purge away from our heart and mind self-will and hypocrisy, that our songs and praises may be pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Wives should pray to the Lord to bless them with more godly submission to their husbands, for the Lord's sake. Husbands should petition the Lord daily for more love toward their wives, asking the Lord to keep them from bitterness against their wives. Children should pray for more godly obedience to the parents. Fathers should pray not to provoke the children to wrath, to be blessed in the Lord of being godly, loving fathers, understanding parents. Servants should pray to the Lord to obey their masters for the Lord's sake, as an important part of their testimony, their outreach. Masters should pray that the Lord would bless them with justice and righteousness and equality in their dealing with the slaves, desiring and praying continually that the Lord would use them, masters, as His image in the lives of those slaves that were under their control. Again, this verse number 2 is telling us, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving or gratitude is a very important ingredient of Christian faith. Without deep gratitude, there is no true godliness. I believe that we also should pray to the Lord that His Spirit may guide us and protect us in our prayers and praises. We should pray that the Lord would keep us from boredom and meaningless prayers, that in our prayers we worship the Lord. And we all should pray for one another, that in that we have a fellowship, that we are united in the Spirit of Christ in our desire that the household of faith be blessed by the Lord, and that we together may honor and glorify our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the verse number 3, Paul is saying, pray also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. The Apostle Paul is not walking today among us. However, his epistles are here, and this is one of them that we are reading right now. Our prayer should be that the Lord open our understanding to understand the writings of the Apostle Paul, and that we also may have an open door of utterance, that we may be a voice of the truth of the gospel, and our daily walk, our living, the manners, the intentions, desires, our plans and deeds, everything to be in the Spirit of Christ, with a fervent desire to worship our Heavenly Father and to glorify the Lord Jesus. In the verse number 4, Paul is saying that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. What is the proper way of speaking the Word of God? How can we know if to one particular listener we should talk in this or that tone, this or that part of the Scripture, and to another one something else? How can we know exactly what is the best to say and in what way? I think only God, our Heavenly Father, knows that, and His Spirit may guide us and give us understanding what to say and what not to say. The Apostle Paul was in chains, in shackles, in bonds for the testimony of the gospel. Knowing that can help us to realize more how precious and valuable is the truth of the gospel. An important ingredient in the gospel preaching, witnessing to the others, reaching out to them with the gospel call, is liberty, freedom, not being embarrassed or ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. To know how great and precious is the privilege of having that opportunity to reach out to the others. Another important ingredient of the gospel preaching is understanding the will of the Lord. Understanding the depth of that truth that revealed to us that we are sinners, and only by the grace of God and by the merit of our Redeemer we can be saved. Incorporating our personal experience of God's grace and mercy into our testimony is also very helpful. In the verse number 5, we are instructed to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. The Spirit of Christ, our Savior and our Master, has all the wisdom necessary for honoring the Lord Jesus, glorifying our Heavenly Father. And the Lord is able to keep us from being idle, aimless, which is a double loss. First, we are wasting the precious time of our pilgrimage, but then also it's a poor example, a very weak and poor testimony before the unbelievers. The Lord can help us to use every opportunity to reach out to the unbelievers and to multiply deeds of charity and loving kindness among the believers. In the verse number 6, Paul said, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." May the Lord give us so much of that grace of His, that we be gracious not only talking, but also walking and working. Kindness is a virtue. Empty flattering, baseless compliments could make our testimony, our conversation, very cheap, worthless. May the Lord give us grace and understanding, faithfulness and wisdom to include the Word of God, the gospel teaching, in every opportunity in our conversation with the others. That just as the Colossian believers were instructed, we also may become filled with the knowledge how to answer every person, every man, according to the need of each individual souls. Starting with the verse number 7, Paul is talking about his fellow gospel workers. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, and a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. When I read this kind of a description and recommendation from Paul on account on behalf of some of his gospel companions, I feel Paul's love, appreciation, and admiration of his brothers. In the verse number 8, Paul is saying, I have sent him, Tychicus, unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. Because Paul had such a great confidence in Tychicus, because Tychicus is a beloved brother, and because he is so faithful minister, and also Paul's fellow servant in the Lord, in the gospel work, Tychicus is going to present to the Colossians a faithful, realistic situation about the Apostle Paul and the other brethren working with him. And then, upon his return back to the Apostle Paul, Tychicus is going to tell to Paul exactly what the situation is at Colossae among the Christian believers, comforting one another, encouraging one another, helping one another. Just being kind and loving to one another is a good and fruitful ministry in the spirit of the gospel and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the verse number 9, Paul is saying that not only Tychicus, but also Onesimus is going with Tychicus. And then he says about Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. This small information is opening a door of knowledge and refreshing our memory, seeing that Onesimus is one of the Colossians from Colossae, or that vicinity, that region. We can also realize that most probably Philemon, to whom the epistle to the Philemon has been written and addressed, also lived in the same general area. The last half of the verse number 9 is telling to the Colossians that Onesimus and Tychicus are going to tell them everything about the situation with and around the Apostle Paul. First part of the verse number 10 is relating to the Colossians, salutation, greetings from a brother by the name Aristarchus. Here the Apostle Paul is calling this brother a fellow prisoner. And I wonder if Aristarchus was a real prisoner, or he was helping so much to the Apostle Paul, especially at this time of imprisonment, that practically Aristarchus was a fellow prisoner. I think the first time we met Aristarchus back in the book of Acts, chapter 19, verse 29, during the uproar at Ephesus. In the book of Acts, in chapter 20, in the verse number 4, Aristarchus is one in the group helping the Apostle Paul as fellow travelers, as his companions. By the end of the book of Acts, when Paul already became a prisoner, in the chapter 27, verse number 2, we see Aristarchus is still his traveling companion. In the epistle to Philemon, verse 24, Aristarchus is one among the disciples sending greetings, salutations to Philemon. Some of these disciples that followed the Apostle Paul physically, helping him, assisting him, and sharing with him his difficulties, were so precious and so gifted and so much appreciated by Paul, and I believe very much loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. In this verse number 10 of the chapter 4 to the Colossians, Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, is sending greetings to the Colossians. And Paul is saying here, touching him ye received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. It is not expressly specified into what to receive Marcus, but I think it's very significant that way back in the book of Acts, in Acts 15 verse 39, we see that Barnabas and Paul just could not agree about Marcus. Barnabas wanted to take Marcus, and Paul said, no, he is not persistent, he cannot endure these difficult journeys in proclaiming the gospel, and so on. And now here we see that Marcus is again with the Apostle Paul, helping, and also by the Apostle Paul recommended to the Colossian believers. I think that the Lord in His grace can change the hearts and minds of His people and prepare them for a better and more faithful service. I wonder who is this disciple in the verse number 11 that is also adding his salutations to the Colossians. His name is Jesus, and yet he was surnamed Justus. I think the name Jesus was rather common among the Hebrew people, the Jews and Levites and Benjamites. And I think it's possible that when this Jesus got converted and he believed the Lord Jesus Christ, he did not want to be called Jesus anymore, because that name became so revered, reverenced among the disciples. And I think it might be the case that the rest of the disciples appreciated that so much that they called this Jesus Justus, which would be just or righteous. I have no evidence that that really was the case, but I think it's a realistic possibility among the believers. In the second half of the verse number 11, Paul is writing, these are only my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. These, meaning from among the circumcision, not Gentiles, but Hebrew fellow believers. And I think it's very important, significant, at least to me it is, and I believe it really is, that Paul was not the only one from among the circumcised believers to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. There were others that realized, understood the gospel call and the desire of the Lord Jesus Christ that His name be preached all over the world. In the verse number 12, we meet again. We met this disciple in the beginning of this epistle to the Colossians, and we will meet him again in the epistle to Philemon. Just these few times we read about his name and about his ministry, but he is one of those holy, brightly gleaming faces that proclaimed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ among the Gentiles. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And the Apostle Paul, with his heart filled with love and gratitude for the fellow gospel workers, just could not help but add something to Epaphras' salutation. I bear him record that he has a great zeal for you and for them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. The next one to salute the Colossians is Luke, the well-known writer of the Gospel according to Luke and of the book of Acts of the Apostles. And I wonder if Luke was not at least participating, if not altogether, the writer of this epistle to the Colossians. I think Paul the Apostle is now binding together all the greetings and salutations and spreading it over the other disciples. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. I think the house churches were very common among the early disciples, and I think they should be more common among the disciples nowadays. There is a great benefit for each family to take turn in hosting the church, and the children can learn that respect and appreciation of an assembly of Christians. In the verse number 16, Paul is giving a very interesting instruction. When this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. I think circulating the apostolic writings among the believers and reading them as their texts for their meetings and Bible studies started way back in the days of the apostles. This verse is also revealing to us that there were other epistles of local meaning and duration that were not necessary to be preserved for us today. In the verse number 17, there is a message for Archippus. Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. We all should take heed to fulfill the ministry that we received from the Lord. I think it's also very helpful to continue in prayers that the Lord would give us full awareness what ministry He has given to us. The last verse, verse number 18, starts with the salutation written by the hand of the Apostle Paul personally, which I think indicates that the whole epistle was written by one of his helpers or more of his helpers. Paul is saying, "Remember my bonds." It is important. And it's very easy to forget. If we are not in chains, it's easy not to remember for a long time those that are in chains. And if today we don't know any disciple, and for sure we don't know any apostle being in chains, we should remember that this precious word was written in chains, that we might experience liberty in Christ and peace with our Heavenly Father. And what is the salutation of Paul? What is his farewell greetings? Grace with you. I think the word Amen at the end of the epistle would indicate that nothing else could be added, so that unauthorized additions could not be added to the epistle, to the text that has been recorded under the guidance of the Lord's Spirit. As I'm closing my sharing with you on the epistle to the Colossians, I remain in prayer to the Lord that He would open every heart and mind while listening to this recording, and when you read this epistle, that the Lord would reveal to you deeper depth and higher height and wider understanding of this epistle that contains so much of the Lord's love and zeal expressed through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Even if I was able to share with you much more, it would still be only a tiny part of that abundance of teaching and inspiration that has been contained in this epistle. May the Lord bless His word and feed His flock, His family, with the manna from above.